And welcome to Falcons training camp on Monday morning, August 11th. My name is Steak Shapiro. That's Drew Butler alongside me. Appreciate so much you spending the time. And lots to get to, needless to say, coming off the weekend. Drew, good to see you, my man. How are you?
Great to see you as well. Happy Monday. I know a lot more schools are back as well today. It's a little bit gloomy out, a little sprinkle in the air, but Falcons hitting the field once again. I know the Tennessee Titans are in town also. Joint practices begin tomorrow and Wednesday leading up to Friday's second preseason game. So great to be out here.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of a, you know, I don't know, the mood of a Monday sometimes. Or certainly for your kids who are going back to school, maybe you want summer to be a little longer. This ain't going to make them feel any better. But it's ISO High School Football Week.
Yeah.
Rusty will have a ton on that. Some massive games coming up that we'll be covering at 92.9. Lots more in the Falcons that obviously, you know, a lot to unravel from an absolutely bizarre night at Mercedes-Benz. The Braves have themselves a hell of a weekend as well, and the NFL getting going. So how was your weekend overall? Anything exciting?
We had golf team on Saturday. That's always fun to get the girls out and watch them swing the clubs. Our first match is in a couple weeks, so it's kind of gradually getting into putting, chipping, hitting the ball, which is always a blast. But other than that, it was a pretty low-key weekend. My daughters had their first week of school last week, so kind of getting back to ground zero after that. But all good, man. How about you? What'd y'all do?
My daughter headed to Athens. My wife helped her move in.
Awesome.
So I did exactly what I wanted to do is try to have a healthy weekend, right? You spend the weekend. When you go to New Orleans the previous weekend, and then last week was a busy week, you're just in detox.
All bets are off.
A lot of pickleball, like a lot of walks.
Yeah.
Chastain Park. There must have been thousands of people on Saturday.
Beautiful weather
Chastain.
Saturday.
Yeah, this is just an ideal day. So my favorite spot is that the Chastain over there to grab a coffee.
Oh, so good.
Watch all the athleisure, right?
Yes.
I want to see the Buckhead Mommies out, and it's like a modeling show out there on Saturday. Dude,
who's got their best
I'm
sets?
I'm not kidding, dude. Like, they're out there in the thousands walking Chastain Park, and then they're all parading in there for their brash coffee, and you're just sitting back going, okay, I see what we got going on here. You know, just tried to stay on top of really NFL stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, thinking about our show on Monday and thinking about, like, what actually matters. Like, I don't want to just, you know, not pablum of, like, oh, the NFL's really got started, which are really, you know, whatever. You know, it gets started the week after Labor Day on Thursday night, right? That's when it gets started. And there are some stories, and Shador's one of them. We'll talk about that. And Stetson Bennett was definitely a story.
Sure.
And all that will come in our NFL coverage coming up. But the Falcons game, which was spectacularly uneventful until, of course, the terrifying video that you know is out there and actually happens.
Yeah.
Maurice Norris, which you saw, I did not see because we were coming from where were we coming from on Friday night? Oh, I was out at my buddy's. My buddy David Avis has a thing in Dunwoody Dunwoody, whatever that four restaurant stretch they have there, and they had a party, and I was up
yep.
and I was coming back listening to our post game, and I was like, why are we in post game now? Games shouldn't even be over yet. And then I figured out what it was, and I have not seen the video, so I apologize. So tell me your take on having been out there and seen guys seriously injured playing in the NFL and playing in the SEC. This was another level, right?
Very, very scary situation. Very beginning, I believe it was the first play of the fourth quarter. Maurice Norris, who's a defensive back for the Detroit Lions, kind of dives just to get in the way. It's not like he dove head first or anything like that. He dove, his body kind of got twisted in the air. The running back for the Falcons essentially just trucked him, ran right over him. And his neck kind of snapped back. Then he hit the ground. You see him go totally stiff with the fist out and the arms. And then some videos were circulating on social media to where he was convulsing violently on the ground. You saw all the players call for the medical staff. The medical staff comes over, tries to at least calm the situation down. Then you see two stretchers come out on golf carts. Then you see the Grady ambulance come out on the 50-yard line right there inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and those are scenes you just do not see very often. They ended up putting Maurice Norris in the ambulance. He went off to Grady. I want to say they ran one or two plays, just kneeled the ball. The clock was running. And then Dan Campbell and Raheem Morris essentially looked at each other, talked to the officials, and they suspended play for the remainder of the game. But a very scary situation. The good news is that both locker rooms were notified after the game that Maurice Norris was awake, alert, and talking at the hospital. I had texted Jake Fromm, who I do my podcast with. He said, hey, I know Maurice because he's been on the Lions for the last 2 years. That is a scary and sad situation. But, man, those just don't happen often. And we talked about it last week, Steak. Every time you take the field in an NFL practice, in an NFL walkthrough, in an NFL game, in an NFL exhibition game, you run the risk of getting injured, and that was one of the worst examples of that.
Yeah, and what I would say is, and dads and moms know this that listen to us, it's not just an NFL game. A young man at my daughter's high school horribly injured a few years ago, a young man from Pace Academy with just catastrophic injuries on a very rudimentary play that happened, sometime in that game where, one would never imagine the results of it would have been. And, there's countless examples of that. And it's like you said, I mean, it wasn't a violent NFL moment. So when you talk about high school and college, same thing could take place in that scenario. It's not to say that other sports aren't dangerous, but football is a different level. And it's a different level of injury because you're talking about neck and you're talking about, spinal. And obviously those guys were too traumatized to keep going. Falcons getting a ton of credit from Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions of how they handled it.
Yeah.
The camaraderie of understanding that this is, they would love to see guys get plays.
Yeah.
They'd love to assess their talent. They'll have a chance to do that with the Titans starting tomorrow. But that Lions were not up for playing. The Falcons probably weren't as well. Up until that point, go ahead.
I will say also that that's a pure example of when the NFL Players Union steps in. Player reps from both teams probably talk to each other. And they kind of gauge the sense of urgency from their teammates, and then they go to the officials and coaches and say, guys, we're done.
And New York was very involved
for
in
sure.
deciding to turn that off as well.
For sure.
So
I did love to see, though, James Pierce Jr. He is a pure pass rusher. That is his only position. They line him up in that wide nine technique way outside the tackles. Sometimes he's got his hand on the ground. Sometimes he doesn't. It looked like he was able to set the edge pretty well against some tight ends and some run plays. And then, of course, he is highly disruptive. That was the best thing that I saw in the limited action that James Pierce Jr. got. He is nothing but a pass rusher, and that's exactly why the Falcons drafted him.
Yeah, he's double-teamed, though, which is why the numbers aren't there at all. But, I mean, obviously the pregame was, we have to handle this guy. They do scouting report on that. So you're showing me a clip right here.
These are all 15 plays from James Pierce Jr. setting the edge here on the right side, double-team. But, look, he's commanding that type of respect.
Meaning they're accounting for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Their pass protection is taking into account where James Pierce Jr. is, and he's holding his own. Some people have said, hey, he's tall, he's a little slim, but no, he is able to certainly command the respect from offensive tackles in the NFL, which is a great sign in his first start.
Yeah, so other than that, a huge frustration that we're not playing our guys. And, when you see that Pat Mahomes was playing and you see that Joe Burrow was playing and, you see across the league a lot of starters are out there and they're getting their reps and you're just wondering why that wouldn't have been a great thing for Michael Penix Jr. Listen, Sean McVay will not play any starters the entire preseason. Raheem absolutely, I don't know if it was influenced, I'm sure he was. That was the theory with the Rams. That's why Stetson Bennett played four quarters yesterday. He's not even their backup, right? Garoppolo's their backup.
Right.
So, which might be listed as their starter until Stafford's back. But that, some coaches just don't care. Raheem don't care, and that's just part of it. Let's do a quick 9-9. Lots to get to today as well. Yeah, you don't get 20 games, 19 games under 500 without just a horrendous stretch of baseball. But for the last 4 days, there was a reprieve. The Marlins come in as a playoff contender for wild card. They absolutely get smoked. Who was contributing? Who wasn't? Drake Baldwin, Marcell Ozuna with another bomb yesterday after two the day before. Jurickson Profar with a catch of the year.
Absolutely incredible catch. Climbs up the wall and almost goes out of the ballpark.
He needed that moment, but yes.
He definitely did. I mean, it was a catch of the year type deal. Braves take 4 out of 5 from the Marlins. They win the doubleheader on Saturday, both games 7-1 and 8-6. Yesterday, they win again 7-1. Michael Harris had a home run. Marcell Ozuna had a home run. So did Matt Olson yesterday. So the Braves take 4 out of 5. Great end of the homestand.
Yeah, breaking news as of literally 20 minutes ago. Paramount will become the new home of the UFC events in the United States. A 7-year, $7 billion agreement. That means, I believe, no more pay-per-view. I'm curious Bo's thoughts. We'll talk about it later in the show as well. It means that all 13 marquee numbered events and 30 fight nights will be on the streaming platform Paramount Plus. It means that they are foregoing any of those pay-per-view nights that we talked to our buddies about. They're huge UFC fans. And that if you get the Paramount app, and they must have done the math over at CBS, Paramount, whatever it is, to spend that much money to realize this is the path to competing in the streaming world.
Yeah, $7.7 billion deal. And as Steak just said, if you are a Paramount subscriber, you will be able to watch UFC main cards rather than having to go outside the streaming platform and purchasing it separately on pay-per-view. And in golf yesterday, it was the first weekend of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Justin Rose beat J.J. Spawn in a 3-hole playoff. Tommy Fleetwood had the lead stake. And once again, he choked it away. It is becoming a tough watch for golf fans everywhere. Tommy Fleetwood yet to win on the PGA Tour, but he'll definitely be on the European Ryder Cup team in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Tour Championship right around the corner as well, so there'll be a lot of great golf conversation. When we come back, did we see the beginning of an era in Cleveland? Is that, you know, sports talk guy blowing it up? I don't think so. We'll talk about Shedeur Sanders' night. Stetson Bennett had a time of it. There's a lot of NFL stories from the weekend. We're live at Falcons. It's training camp. It's Steak and Drew. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Falcons training camp. It's Steak and Drew Butler. Thanks so much for being with us. Lots to get to over the course of this morning. We should mention on a programming note, because she, I think she put it out there this morning on social
media.
She
did.
Sam will not be with us for a little bit. Essentially, she is taking care of her mom. What'd she say on social? So I make sure, because I hadn't looked at it yet, but she basically said, you can tell the listeners what's going on. She's taking care of her mom. Who obviously has fallen ill, and, you know, I think depending if her mom gets better or does not get better, she's going to be with her through that whole process and spending time trying to make her comfortable as possible. And obviously everything takes a backseat to that as she tries to, you know, figure out, you know, what the future holds. So I can tell you that it has been a tough process for Sandra. It's been a tough year for her. And on a personal level, she's not going to be on the show until she can make sure that, you know, she's at peace with whatever happens with her mom. And she put that out on social media. And I'm sure she'd love a kind word as she put it out there. Nothing more important than my sweet mom. And right now she needs me, taking a temporary step back. But she'll be listening on the app and we'll be busting her chops, hopefully helping her laugh through an incredibly, incredibly tough time. So, yes, maybe more of Drew, maybe more of Rusty, maybe more of Mike Johnson. Who knows who may roll through the steakhouse. I will be here holding down the fort, I hope, and we'll have a combination of guys floating through as well. So
yeah, we love you, Sandy, and we're thinking about you and your sweet mom, so make sure that she is doing great. That is most important.
So as we sit here, now it's pouring rain, but they are
we are underneath the tent.
Yeah, we're under the tent.
My cousin and my niece, they were supposed to come out here today. I do not think that's going to happen.
Yeah, this is not a Chamber of Commerce for Flowery Branch type of day. We can talk about the NFL And I got, you know, it's good to see NFL football out there.
Yes.
A lot of points were scored. It was not like sloppy football where second and third stringers couldn't get it done. There are a lot of points. Those of you who care about these type of things, I think if you took the over on most of these preseason games, you probably were about 80%. A lot of points.
A lot of dogs and overs, I believe, is what the trend was over the weekend. But you're right, man. It was great to have NFL football on your television.
Yeah.
I had one of those sit-down moments with my 7-year-old daughter. It was Saturday afternoon, and had a game on NFL Network. Daddy, who are you rooting for? I said, oh, I don't really care.
Yeah.
She goes, well, then why are you watching? I said, because, sweetheart, it's football season. It's time to lock in. This is preseason football.
Because we have the over in this Rams game. You didn't want to say that.
So right? I had to get the computer out and show her some old clips of some preseason games that Daddy had played in. But
she
got a big kick out of it. But, you know, it's time. And I was actually pleasantly surprised with the product on the field as well. And it goes back to a lot of the guys who are wanting to play. It was great to see Cam Ward get one drive for the Tennessee Titans. Of course, he was the number one overall draft pick. You know, the Titans are here this week in Flowery Branch, so we'll get an up-close look at him. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, the best player in the NFL, arguably. He wants to get on the field. He gets in there for a series as well. We talked about it on Friday, but Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, 15 plays. After the game, Joe Burrow says, we're 15 reps better. I mean, those are the types of things, Stig, where you watch the games and you're like, damn, it matters to these guys. They actually care about it. You know, they're in training camp. They're beating each other's heads in. You get out to the field. You go through your game day routine. You just want to get that feeling again, and it was great to kind of get that feeling as a spectator as well.
Yeah, let's talk about what I think is a real story that I don't think is overhyped, and that was Shedeur Sanders.
100%.
Who looks to me, let's not play, let's not pretend. There's all kinds of reasons he slipped to where he did. You know, this was a message that nobody's more powerful than the NFL owners.
Yep.
You don't tell us where he's going to be drafted. We don't want a circus around our team. We're the most powerful entity, certainly sports entity, and almost like punishing the whole operation that is Shedeur Sanders. But you tell me that Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett or any one of that other group of five, that Shedeur Sanders isn't the guy that should vault. Maybe not week one, but he looked every bit like an NFL quarterback. He looked every bit like he could be a absolute weapon for Cleveland.
14 of 23 for 138 yards and two touchdowns. He also ran the ball four times for 19 yards. You can't discredit that. But to your point, Stake, how he managed the game, his communication at the line of scrimmage, getting guys set pre-snap, processing information. The game was not too big for Shedeur Sanders. And, of course, you can downplay it, preseason this, preseason that. The coaches gave him a script and gave him snaps to see how he would react. And I can't remember. I mean, ESPN talked about it ad nauseum. Shedeur starting, is this it? If he doesn't play well, will he ever get another chance? Keep him. He's a fifth-round draft pick. The conversation before the draft was who would be number one, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. He falls all the way to the fifth round. He gets his chance. And I thought in the postgame press conference, too, he was very candid about it. He said, look, ball has never been a problem for me.
All right, let's hear. Here's a little bit of Shedeur after the game.
Today to move up the depth chart?
I honestly don't know, and I don't really care, you know. Whenever it's my turn, and I just got to take advantage of it. I feel like, you know, today I did some good, some bad. And I know moving forward, you know, I won't make the same mistakes twice. That's not in my control, and, you know, regardless of whatever the situation, it's not up to me, and it is what it is. I just got to, you know, accept whatever everything come with.
Okay, so look at the Browns quarterback room right now. Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, who was selected before Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders is there, of course. Kenny Pickett is in that room. I mean, who's going to be the starter on week one? Is it sports radio fodder to say that you would have to lean towards Shedeur Sanders after what he did in the first preseason game?
Listen, there's a reason for Shedeur Sanders and the hype around him. We're just looking at game film in the break. I mean, he's making bullet throws under duress, in traffic, in the end zone.
Yeah, moving outside of the pocket, setting his feet.
Throwing against his body.
Yeah, throwing against his body. Look, I mean, the guy.
Dude, who are you kidding? This is the Cleveland friggin' Browns. I mean, just look at some of the poise and the
That's a hell of a throw right there.
Yeah.
An absolute seed in the back corner of the end zone in traffic while setting his feet throwing across his body.
Listen, there's all kinds of you know, backstory to how it ended up the way it did for Shedeur Sanders. They're very close to Tom Brady. They have a relationship. Me and you talked about this the other day, which I'm sure is exactly, I think you reiterated it. Dude, treat every snap you get, whether it's 12 in practice, 15, or 7, like this is the most important snap of your life. Just do everything you're asked to do. If you're given three quarters of play, go ball out. I'm sorry, his presence in the pocket, standing tall, evading rushers, throwing bullets. I mean, he looks the part. And you know, the comparison to Brady was bypassed by countless teams. I love how Bill Belichick, you know, want to take credit for him. Patriots passed on him 5 rounds, right? You know, they got him in the 6th round
yeah.
to be a 2nd or 3rd rounder. It's not like they were friggin' geniuses. And it's not like the Browns were either because they took Gabriel ahead of him and they could have taken him.
Exactly.
All right? All that being said, he's just going to, just like after the game, how uncomfortable was when they're asking him, does this mean you need more playing time? Does this mean you've emerged as a potential starter? Dude, I have nothing to do with that.
Out of my control.
All he said is I can play better.
That's right.
I need to be better than what I did today. And here's Kevin Stefanski after the game. Absolute quarterback controversy will be playing itself out. Here's what he said about Shedeur Sanders.
My expectations for Shedeur are no different than the rest of the guys. We expect them to go operate. It's when you get in these preseason games, you try to keep it very simple so that guys can play fast. All concepts that our players know and can kind of not think too much and just play ball.
Of course, the head coach is not going to throw flowers after the first preseason game, but Shedeur did what he needed to do. Simple as that.
Yeah, and yeah, he did what he needed to do and showed that he could absolutely be an NFL quarterback. And you want to talk about a guy that could own a city? Shedeur Sanders comes out and balls as a rookie.
No question.
Oh, my God, dude. Can you imagine Cleveland
question.
Browns fans say
yeah.
this could be our guy for the next 10
I'm
years?
I'm ready to be hurt again is what Cleveland Browns fans will say.
A couple of other really good weekends for folks. The New York Giants. Jackson Dart looked great for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he looked great.
And Abdul Carter looked like he could be unblockable, right, as that pick. New England Patriots unleash a monster trophy for Tom Brady, who's in it. How many times they got to Bill Brady to show up?
A huge statue outside Gillette Stadium.
18 feet high. And Trayvon Henderson, who everybody thought was a friggin' steal for New England to get him in the 2nd round,
out
I believe.
Out of Ohio State.
First touch, goes 100 yards, kickoff, goes for a 12-yard run. Patriots get a blowout win, but they loaded up Will Campbell, the big offensive lineman. You see some of the film on him?
Sure.
Dude, he looked ridiculous downfield blocking. Yeah, he played in this game as well. Mentioned Stetson Bennett, who had a big
day. Yeah, Stetson had an incredible day. 16 of 24, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 1 pick. Ran the ball 3 times for 11 yards.
Yeah.
So Stetson Bennett continuing to position himself to be a serviceable backup NFL quarterback. And who knows, you're just one snap away.
And Matthew Stafford with epidurals in preseason is not a thing that Rams fans should feel good about. We already talked about Anthony Richardson. Horrible moment for him before the weekend even started. And across the board, just a lot of offense up and down the field. Justin Fields plays for the Jets. They go right down the field and score. Cam Ward plays for the Titans. They go right up the field and score. Yes, these are frontline players making an impact.
Yeah, and I wonder why. Because they want to get back into football shape. They want to get those reps. They want to get better and be able to hit the ground running in week one.
All right, when we come back, talk some dogs. John Gruden stopped by. Wait till you hear what he had to say to the Georgia brethren in the locker room. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
High and deep into the jet stream that's blowing out that way, and that baby is gonna go. A moonshot for Matty O to tie the game in the 4th. 2-2 to Ozuna. And it opens it up here in the 7th. Kryptonite for the Marlins over the last decade. Now Michael Harris deep to right. Back to back. No not back-to-back, with a strikeout in between. But it's the 12th of the year for Michael Harris.
It's a home run sandwich.
We like a home run sandwich. Braves pound the Marlins all
4.2 steak tips on the home run sandwich.
Yeah, thank you. The good one. Braves giving the fans something to enjoy. They get to 30-30 at home on the year, and they get a much-needed kind of deep breath from what's been such a tough time, and they just start mashing over the weekend.
Yeah, it's exactly what the Braves fans wanted to see. It's fun to win baseball games, especially at home. It was a big five-game series with a doubleheader included against a division foe in the Miami Marlins. And the Marlins, of course, in the wild card hunt, and the Braves woke up, the bats woke up, and 4 out of 5. I think everybody will take that for sure.
Have you seen what the Mets have been doing of late? I know a lot of people aren't following the pennant race.
Yes, I have.
They have lost now 10 out of 11. They blew a 5-0 lead yesterday in Milwaukee. They have been a friggin' disaster. And that's who's up next for the Braves. If nothing else, gives us reason to turn on the TV and
sure.
kind of, you know, enjoy watching some Braves baseball and see what you can get done. But, you know, listen, this is one of those years that is just hard to conceive that all those things could go wrong at once. And Marcelo Ozuna and Michael Harris, guys that absolutely were not doing their job. Michael Harris' numbers, by the time this season is over, are probably going to look just about like what you'd want them to. The problem is when it happened, a lot of this stuff is now when, you know, the season is out of reach. They got the Mets this week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, and then they travel to Cleveland to take on the Guardians. The Mets trying to figure their thing out, 1-10 of late. And the Milwaukee Brewers proving that they are indeed one of the elite teams out there. So
yeah, the Brewers are like 24-4 since the All-Star break. I might be getting that wrong, but they are just on absolute fire right now. Best record in Major League Baseball.
Hard to imagine that a lot of sports fans would not be rooting for the Brewers when they get in the postseason, especially with big market teams like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. Brewers have never won a World Series. It's a great little town.
The Cubs are very good this year, and the Brewers are 6 games clear of them in the division.
Yeah, Cubs are the story, right?
Yeah,
guess
Cubs
what?
Are 67
they're not even close
and
right
50.
Now.
They're 17 games over 500, and they're and 6 games back in
yeah,
the division.
Yeah, dude, Brewers are a friggin' juggernaut, dude. That would be just unbelievable to see them in the mix, certainly if they get up against the Dodgers, dude. Everybody will be like, go Milwaukee. Stick it to that big market, overspending, crazy-ass Dodger connection. Let's talk a little tailgate. Let's talk a little college football, if you will.
All right, we're going to start not with college football. We did a little flyby earlier, but it is the kickoff weekend for high school football right here in Atlanta, and our Metro is going to be in the spotlight kicking things off Friday night with a national game on ESPN2 opening up that new monster stadium in Buford. It's Milton versus Buford Friday night, Philip Beard Stadium, Dexter Wood Field, national television, Coach Ben Reeves on one sideline for Milton, and of course, the mighty, mighty Buford Wolves on the other.
Can you imagine the mouths agape around America from California to North Dakota to New Jersey, even Fort Lauderdale, where they're going to be highlighting the brand new stadium and folks will be like, how is that a high school? How is that possible? The luxury suites, they'll show them. The locker rooms, they'll show them.
The double-sided jumbotron, they'll show it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be bigger than the players on the field will be the story of what goes on of high school football in the state of Georgia. And get ready for your, you know, friends from wherever it is and watches this thing on ESPN to say, what is going on with that Buford Stadium? And the reality is, there's a lot of none of them look like that. None of the locker rooms look like that. But there's a lot of places where, you know, insert small colleges that would kill for the facilities that these big 7A high schools and others provide for their players. And you're going to see it on Friday night.
No question. These are two elite teams. Milton was a
monster
national
game,
champion
dude.
Last year. One of the best teams in all of the country. Of course, they won 6A classification
in
Georgia.
what day is going to be like in Buford, really just starting by Wednesday, right?
It's going to be like all of the movies that you watch, Friday Night Lights, Varsity Blues, yeah. when the town shuts down on Friday and nobody cares what happens at school during class that Friday. That's what this Friday is going to be like at Buford High School.
Yeah, I mean, like the entire community who's not at that game, they'll be spilling out. It is just such a sense of pride. We all know that they have advantages, of course, with some of the dollars that flow into that community that allows them to build the facilities that they are. But, yeah, high school football, Rusty will be on with us Friday. I'm going to say we'll get him on earlier this week to preview a lot of what's going on Friday night. And, of course, talk about Georgia, where they continue to get ready for their opener, Marshall, then Austin Peay, and then their true opener, week three at Tennessee in Knoxville.
Yeah, that's right. Georgia had a scrimmage over the weekend, their first of a few leading into week one, and per Dogs HQ, there were five stock risers after the scrimmage. One guy continues to get a lot of love, not only as an elite wide receiver, but an absolute playmaker on special teams. That, of course, five-star transfer from Southern Cal, Zachariah Branch. This kid is going to be a total playmaker for Georgia all season long. On the defensive side of the ball, a name you need to get familiar with, safety Jonel Aguero. This guy is physical. He will absolutely scream downfield and be an enforcer. A great compliment to the other stock riser after the scrimmage, somebody who was on the steakhouse just a couple of weeks ago from Buford, KJ Bolden. KJ has solidified himself as a defensive leader. So when you pair Bolden, who got plenty of playing time last year, with Jonel Aguero, who's going to be more of a physical run-stopping safety, you got to love what you're hearing from Georgia right now. Another defensive back, Ellis Robinson, had an interception during the scrimmage. He is a highly touted recruit. He's working his way onto the field. And on the offensive line, Juan Gaston, flash, but it is just incredible steak for me to hear how good Drew Bobo is playing for this Georgia offensive line. Keep in mind, when I was a freshman, Drew Bobo was like 4 years old. Now he has solidified himself as a leader. He's athletic. He's huge. He can pull from the center position. He can help in the run game. He absolutely will be paramount for Gunnar Stockton and or Ryan Puglisi to get set pre-snap. Drew Bobo, this could be a one-and-done type situation for him. It's being reported that the NFL scouts are loving what they're seeing from Drew Bobo.
Yeah, we had him alive, and we had Bolden live as well. The same day we had Kirby and Josh Brooks, that fabulous day we had in Athens. And you just heard about the progression. And, again, the offensive line at Georgia is a special place to learn. It's a special place to be coached. And that kid is solidifying himself. He hasn't been following, by the way, the saga of some of the recent rookies in the NFL that look like coming out of the Georgia offensive line. They're going to be playing right away, right? So that's what happens when you play offensive line at Georgia, and Bobo's certainly following those footsteps.
One of the best parts about training camp or fall camp when you're at a school like Georgia, of course you got to have tons of meetings, you're doing walkthroughs, you're doing practices and more meetings, but at night you have your team meetings. It's an opportunity for everybody to grow closer together, the coaches get to talk to you, and then of course they will bring in special guest speakers. You saw Ernie Johnson, a Georgia grad. He came and talked to the Georgia Bulldogs team a week ago. But the other one that really went viral, Steak, was none other than Super Bowl champion, former NFL head coach, John Gruden. And Gruden has gotten into the content game recently, big on YouTube. He's a Barstool employee. He was at practice hanging out with the coaches, and then he talked to the Georgia football team and sent a message about how they need to have their mentality right heading into this season.
I'm being honest with you. I do not either. I want to coach again. I'd die to coach in the SEC. I would love it. I would fucking love it. I'm going to tell you guys this. What I know about the SEC is it's getting harder. The SEC's getting harder. They tell me Texas is in the SEC. Woo. They tell me Oklahoma's in the SEC. Damn. Texas A&M. You know who your biggest opponent is? You. You. You're your biggest opponent. Ego. That's your biggest opponent. Greed. Jealousy. Your cell phone. You guys dig it? You got to make sure you're in charge of you. You bring your best self in here every night, and you'll see how great you can become.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And look, it's always great to have a guy like him send the message to Georgia. Is he going around every single team and sending that message to the same team? Probably. But you know what? He's right, and he's accurate when he's talking to a team like Georgia, because that is exactly the situation. They have not lost at home since 2019.
Are we going to play the nightmare cut? Do we have that? Or we'll play it a little bit later on also when he talks about we want to be a nightmare. Bo, I don't know if we have that now. We'll play it for you later if we don't. But the message is going to be, obviously, to hold home turf.
Absolutely.
And that everybody's trying to make a name for themselves to find a way to win
against Georgia.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So it's great to have John Gruden be the one delivering that message. You know Kirby's delivering it every day. May or may not get stale coming from the same person, but it's always great to have somebody like that get in there and mix things up. How about Howie Roseman?
Yeah.
GM of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was also on a podcast with Barstool, and they essentially asked him, hey, dude, what's up with all the dogs?
You have this young group of guys who have already that history together. So some of the learning curve is gone because of that. And it's kind of special to see. You know, it's kind of special to watch, you know, when N'Kobe's playing linebacker and he knows what Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter is going to do and Nolan's going to do. And then he can look back and he sees Keely. Like, it's like they played together for a long time. You get the same benefit that you get from a defense that has been together for 3, 4, 5 years. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, I don't see how he's the only one that's figured
that out. It was funny
because
Big Cat from Barstool was like, bro, why does everybody give you credit? All you do is just go, Georgia, take him. Georgia, take him. Georgia. He's like, bro, that's your only game plan. And how he's talking through it. You know, we were talking about the Drew Bobo and the impact already. I mean, you know Tate Ratledge, obviously, second-round pick of the Lions. He's already starting at right guard. Jared Wilson, third-round pick of the Patriots, probably goes a little higher than people thought. Already listed as a starter, as a third-round rookie. And then Dylan Fairchild of the Bengals, another rookie offensive lineman, expected to possibly start at left guard for the Bengals as well.
NFL ready. They are getting developed at Georgia. If you go to Athens, you will have an opportunity to play in the NFL. And we also have some breaking news this morning. This is important breaking news.
All right, I'm here.
ESPN just released their preseason college football All-American team. There is one Georgia Bulldog on the first team. It's the punter, Brett Thorson. That's right. Punter breaking news right here on the Steakhouse. Brett Thorson, the only first-team preseason All-American from Georgia on ESPN's 2025 preseason college football team. Look, I hope he's healthy. He's going to be a huge threat for the Dogs.
He is a ridiculous. I mean, that's what he is, dude. He is a ridiculous weapon. We work with an All-American punter here, and the reality is, you know, we make fun sometimes of like, oh, are we going to really get into special teams? One-third of the game.
Yeah.
And that guy has had some of the most spectacular numbers in college football history.
Yeah, he is a stud.
Wasn't he unreturned 2 years ago?
That's right. And he also
was returned.
He also had that incredible 75-plus yard punt down at the one-yard line against Tennessee when they were number one in the country. He is just extremely dependable, reliable, and a great weapon for Georgia's defense.
He's a beast. Guys don't look like that playing that position either. That is the tailgate. A lot of stuff happening from Athens, obviously. And when we get back, Falcons conversation, have to have it. Some moments the other day, we watched somebody on film that Drew Butler very excited about. Game ends in a bizarre manner. Everything's all right now, but we'll talk about that a little bit. And then the young audience is telling you what they care about and what they don't care about. And there's a reason why Sunday Night Baseball is not must-see TV, but other sports are. We'll get into that when we come back. Drew Butler, Steak Shapiro. We're live in Flowery Branch. Falcons are practicing right behind us here. And actually a very pleasant morning. Rain has slowed down. A lot of folks up on that hill will have an update on practice as well. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live in Atlanta Falcons, and Drew Butler alongside me on a great morning for practice, right? I mean, you've been out here. This is ideal, is it not?
Rain it really is. The rain has stopped.
Temperatures are awesome.
the last three times you and I have been out here. I mean, it feels like
it's
fall.
Great. No, it's awesome. Been great. Weekend was unbelievable. I told you, I saw 1,000 out getting their steps in and running around, getting ready for Alta season, playing their 18 in perfect conditions, and just a great Atlanta weekend. I was out and about on Saturday night with a buddy of mine, and my wife was in Athens moving my daughter in. And I can tell you that talking to restaurateurs, I talked to a couple of guys who said, I was at Umi, which is the bougie sushi spot. Shout out to my friends over there who were nice enough to say hi and let us get a couple of rolls there.
So good.
Yeah. They said that August is their best month other than December.
Really?
But everybody's back in town.
Okay.
They are ready, getting excited for football season. Nobody's traveling anymore.
I would not have expected that.
Well, the fact is that I can tell you that there's no family vacations in August.
Sure.
Like literally
you're locking
100%
back
of Atlanta is back. Traffic hasn't been awful yet, but just the energy of the city. I mean, the town was just on fire the other night. Talking about a lot of these local restaurants and bars, you know, whether it's, Downtown Function and Alpharetta or Suwannee, even places like Flowery Branch and Woodstock and you know, obviously Buckhead was popping and the Beltline. Beltline was just on fire. I mean, it's one of those weekends where everybody back in town,
yeah.
They're excited to go out and spend and, you know, put money back in the local economy. And that was the energy that you were seeing. Falcons playing on Friday, Braves playing at home all weekend as well.
No, it kind of makes sense now the more I think about it. Obviously, everybody's getting back into their routines. School is starting. However, you don't have the Falcons regular season. You don't have Georgia regular season.
You're not.
So everybody is trying to figure out what do we do around the house on the weekend. We can go do a dinner here. Let's go to Buckhead.
Yeah, Saturday night you don't have
Alpharetta, Roswell.
There's hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Of Atlanta people that aren't around on a Saturday once Auburn, Alabama,
correct.
Tennessee, Georgia Tech, Georgia, all those schools are playing. That's what Atlanta is. You know, folks come here, they have to be socialized like, oh, yeah, get on the road Saturday morning and look at the flags. There's an Auburn flag. There's a Clemson flag. There's a South Carolina flag. There's a Georgia flag. They're all headed to games. They'll spend the night there, or they'll drive back that night, or they're gone for the entire weekend. The whole notion now of parents doing multiple weekends. You know, it used to be you drop your kid off at school, and like, I'll see you in 5 months at December break. Now it's like, how many different weekends? My wife and I are like planning, like, which Georgia game are we locked into that we have a chance maybe to get tickets for? Or, you know, are we taking a trip to New Orleans, which we are actually on Labor Day weekend to see Tulane Northwestern, our daughter dancing there at Tulane. So that's one of our football weekends. Then there's the Falcons. Is there a chance we want to go to the Carolina game, go to the Tampa Bay game? Are we going to the New Orleans Falcons game? Like, you're just planning out your whole weekend. You're traveling a lot of these, either your parents, your fans of your teams, your alumni of Florida State or Florida or Auburn or Alabama. It's just a whole different energy. And this is one of the few weekends, the next few weekends,
yeah.
when that doesn't exist. You're still watching, like, a team 18 games under 500 on baseball, right? There's not much else to really engage in. You're a golf freak, but it's not like there's a big golf event
yeah.
for a few weeks.
That's right.
I mean, it is as slow as it gets
yep.
in terms of ramping up when we're eventually going to get that third weekend. You see what's been circled right now for NFL, college, and Ryder Cup?
Yes.
The third weekend of the NFL
season.
Of the college season.
September 27th is the Saturday.
So that's Georgia.
Alabama. No, Georgia,
oh,
Alabama
that's right,
is the 27th.
That's right.
That's
what everyone's
and
talking about.
And then it's the Ryder Cup that Saturday as well.
And then look at the NFL schedule that weekend as well.
Yep.
It is a monster, an absolute monster sports weekend. And, you know, you put that up there, people started to say, like, this is one of those epic sports weekends that is just going to all come together. And if the Ryder Cup is close come Sunday,
whew.
Just think about what that's going to look like and what that's going to feel like as well. I mean, just next-level type stuff, especially when you look at the slate in college and pro and everything else.
Yeah, you like the Baltimore Ravens against the Kansas City Chiefs at 4:25 that Sunday?
Yeah, so CBS gets that.
Packers,
right?
Cowboys, Sunday Night Football.
So what time will the Ryder Cup be over, by 4 or 5 o'clock?
Yeah, at the latest.
So you'll be watching the Ryder Cup. Think if it's close to the USA and Europe, right?
Yep.
And then think about, as that's wrapping up, and hopefully there's champagne bottles being popped. Is it Bethpage Black?
Bethpage Black, just outside of New York City.
So think about the biggest celebration in golf that you'll ever see in your life, which is if the Americans can find a way after getting absolutely smoked in the Ryder Cup, then flipping over to a 4:25 game of Ravens and Chiefs, and then flipping over to the Sunday night game on top of everything else. And, oh, yeah, the day before, Georgia's hosting Alabama.
And, oh, yeah, the Falcons will have just beaten the Washington Commanders, who they host at 1 p.m. on that Sunday.
Yeah,
as
so
well.
Jaden Daniels is rolling into town for that. Give me the college slate that weekend as well, because that's a whole other level. So as we sit here at Falcons and I start reading more and more about all 32 NFL teams and all the hope and promise that is watching young guys for the first time and start, you know, deciding that we just scored on the biggest draft pick, you know, of all time. And we just hit it big. And there's so much promise available and all that. And by the way, before I want to get through the Falcons, give me that slate for that.
Obviously,
weekend.
Alabama at Georgia, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Oregon at Penn State, 7:30 p.m. on
That's
Peacock.
That's ridiculous. That's the same. That's right. They're going up against each other, right?
Yeah. How about this noon game? Notre Dame at Arkansas. A little SEC yep. action for you. So that's going to be noon on ABC as well.
Dude, those two night games competing?
LSU at Ole Miss. Jeez. Auburn at Texas A&M.
Oh, my God.
Ohio State at Washington. That's some really, really good college football games,
September
27th. Dude,
if you think about Saturday, one of the reasons I was out on Saturday night, I literally was like, what's going to be on the tube tonight? And it's like, oh, there's really, I mean, there's no sports going on right now.
I know.
And then you look at a weekend like that, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
That is ridiculous. Anyway. Listen, 7-10, 8-9, 9-8. There's nobody that covers football on a regular basis. There's nobody that is in the world of, you know, laying lines, thinking about futures. Futures bet is how many wins the team going to have for their season, or just NFL writers that has the Atlanta Falcons as any factor.
No, not at all. And before you jump into that, the USA Today, who famously predicts the season every single preseason, they have the Falcons going 7-10.
Yeah. I mean, they do every team, every record. You know, I think they had, who do they have at the top of the division?
Well,
Tampa winning it again?
Have Tampa winning it again, and they have the Ravens defeating the Packers in Super Bowl 60.
So, I'll just say this. As much as I am an Atlanta Falcon fan, and I'm an enormous Atlanta Falcon fan, and obviously being here for Michael Vick and Matt Ryan, and being here for Julio Jones and Dan Quinn and Mike Smith, one of my favorite guys we've ever covered, and, you know, obviously this new era here and rooting for Arthur Blank, that, you know, folks who are critical of Arthur Blank, they literally don't know what they're talking about. And if you hear a sports talk guy start to hammer Arthur Blank, it's like that's one of the most the owner that literally gives this franchise every single thing they need. You want to hire this GM? You want to hire this coach?
Yeah.
You want to draft these players? You want to upgrade the stadium? You want dollar hot dogs? You want more fans in the seats? You want, like, every opportunity to compete at the highest level. You don't like our weight room? You don't like our nutrition? You know, whatever it is.
Training table?
Yeah. We'll do whatever it takes. He doesn't make draft picks for his team.
Oh, you want a new
meddle.
Stadium? Hold on. Watch this.
And then you want it filled, so I'm going to figure out how to do it. So, all that being said, what reason could you have right now to be overly confident about the Falcons? As much as, and I'd say a lot of years, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. The more I sit back, I was like, there is, it's almost like when people ask me about Gunnar Stockton, and I'm just like, dude, I have absolutely no idea. I know that the guy, you know, I watched his high school stuff.
Yeah.
I've watched him play a game and a half. He's a Georgia starting quarterback. So, you know, the pedigree right there says you are a absolute elite player in America because you're starting for the premier program in the country. But I don't know what I don't know what that translates to at Tennessee and at Auburn and hosting Tech and all this stuff. And by the same token, Michael Penix Jr. has played three games. Our defense is filled with guys that are rookies that are our biggest impact players, possibly Jalen Walker.
Yep. And James Pierce Jr.
Yeah, James Pierce Jr. Leonard Floyd on the pass rush on the outside at, what, 32 years old?
Braylon Trice coming off an injury as your third-round pick a year ago. Can Ruka Rororo step up on the inside and
now
kind of
you
fill
lost
the
Grady.
Gap that Grady's not
Arnold
going to be here, man?
Okay, he had a sack and a strip the other day. But, I mean, like, that's not where other NFL teams are. Other
no.
NFL teams are, like, sitting there going, well, that guy had double-digit sacks, and that guy's a pro bowler, and we had 11 wins last year, and we actually should be better than we were. Like, does that mean we can't win the division? Absolutely not. But when you sit here and you really want to talk honestly about what could be in store for us, if you break it out now, if our defense can be better than average, we can win 9 or 10 football games. Because the offense, if Penix is just good, not great.
Yep.
Offensive line, stacked. Veteran players, stacked. Run game, you know, few combos better than Bijan and Tyler Allgeier.
Man, I saw Allgeier last week in person. He is huge.
Dude, he's about to get so paid next year.
He is massive.
I mean, think about why that they gave him the football in the fourth quarter and try to run games out. So, I mean, that's all great. But there's an entire side of the football that I'm sorry. What reason are we going to sit here and say, like, we're gonna be so much better on defense?
And look, they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week one. If you watched quarterback before that Thursday night football game, Kirk Cousins was sitting there going, man, the last team you want to play on a short week is Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He disguises so many looks. He brings so much pressure.
Right.
He knows how to affect the quarterback just pre-snap with all the movements. And then, of course, who's coming, who's dropping back in coverage. Michael Penix Jr. is going to be a huge spot for him in week one because he's never seen a defense like Todd Bowles is going to bring to him. Bowles knows
what guys are going to tee off. They are thinking getting swept last year by the Falcons. Getting swept.
Not again.
And blowing the game here.
Not again.
Right. So, dude, it's just hard for me to think. Those folks are like, dude, you got to love the over on the Falcons. I mean, 7 years out of the playoffs, if that's the best future bet you see out there.
Yeah, because why?
Right.
Because why?
Based on.
Like, the Rams last year were not that good of a football team. They got a lot of talent. They got great coaching. They brought it together, and they damn near made the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So they have every reason to be like, we're going to be good this year.
Yeah, and we've upgraded. And by the way, those two rookies are now second-year guys.
Exactly.
Right? When we come back, we will tell you about the breaking news out of UFC, which is huge. And, again, why baseball is sitting here going, hello? Hello, we're over here. Hey, guys. Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're live at Falcons, Drew Butler and Steak Shapiro. Thanks so much for being with us as we try to make sense of, you know, as this preseason and as these camps continue, where our team is going to land in terms of the division. And obviously conventional wisdom is that the Saints are at the bottom of that division. The Carolina could be a dark horse team that obviously...
No. Panthers will not be a dark horse team. I'm just going to go ahead and get out in front of that
one. So anybody that thinks at the end of the year, watching Bryce Young, seeing the way that they're going about building it. So if we're behind...
Leonard Floyd will swallow Bryce Young and... Sorry. Pause. I apologize. He will absolutely crush Bryce Young in the backfield. There you go.
You really feel because last time I checked, woo! Carolina came in here.
Oh, pause!
It's a game we needed to win, and last Carolina rolled in here and put up 40-something points, and we got smoked. So I'm not exactly sure, other than having a new defensive coordinator and a couple of stud rookies, you know, where it lands. But there is some optimism in Carolina, and then of course there is Tampa Bay, and it's like we said earlier, DeMarco Hellam the other day, really good day for him for the Falcons. First of all, I got flagged on that hit, which looked completely legal, right?
Yes. I mean, just a very unfortunate play. And to Maurice Norris, the young man who got injured, it was nothing that he did wrong. I mean, his body kind of got horizontal to the ground when he was trying to make a tackle, and DeMarco Hellam essentially ran through him, and then the consequent...
Yeah, I was talking about the legal hit.
Sorry, not the legal hit.
The bigger hit that he got flagged for earlier,
right,
which was... From all indication, the way you're supposed to do things now with such a violent hit, I mean, that's where the flag comes in after. But he hadn't played in a year. He was running around making plays. Now, again, that's exactly what's going to happen. You mentioned it, Braylon Trice, and you mentioned Ruka Rororo, and you mentioned, you know, guys emerging that we just, the numbers aren't up yet. Numbers aren't on the scoreboard. It's just those guys are going to do it. If that happens, we know offensively we're good. because we've loaded up on first-round picks. Drake London, first-round pick. Kyle Pitts, first-round pick. Bijan, first-round pick. Chris Linson, first-round pick. I mean, across the board, Caleb McGarry, you know, top of the second round, I think it was, whatever. So, like, that's where all the draft equity is gone.
Yeah, and for guys like Ruka Roro and Braylon Trice, who were drafted a year ago, like, it's time. Like, you have to produce now or else you will not be here much longer. This is the NFL. It's not college football. You will get drafted over if you don't produce, and you will be on your way out. So the Falcons have invested heavily across both sides of the football to put a product on the field that can compete for a division championship. That's where it starts. You win the NFC South, you get a home playoff game.
Caden Ellis, you know, Divine Diablo, and David Onyemata, guys that we haven't talked about today, they simply have to be really good football players if this defense has a shot. Obviously, with Jeff Albrecht running, Colin, and hopefully giving us a new edge. I'm not telling you that's a bad group at all. I think we all know that Caden Ellis capable of making a lot of plays, but at the end of the day, these aren't the guys that the rest of the NFL looks at and goes, oh, that's an impressive defense they put together in Atlanta. Nobody's saying that.
No, nobody's saying that, but for the Falcons, and you don't take joy in other people getting injured, it's just a reality of the National Football League. The Buccaneers starting left tackle Tristan Wirfs, he will not be available in week one. In week two, when the Falcons go up to Minnesota, they will not have Jordan Addison. He will not be available for the Vikings in week two. So those are things that you start looking at as training camp unfolds and guys either start performing well or unfortunately are dealing with injuries and they'll be out for a couple of weeks.
Dude, it is going to be so fascinating to see us opening day with those two rookies and now the new guys that now there's no Grady Jarrett. So it's day one for Leonard Floyd. It's really day one for, you know, Rook to go out there and Onyemata and, you know, that secondary, which, you know, a lot of guys running around thinking they may have a shot. Certainly Billy Bowman Jr., hearing that name, hearing Xavier Watts. Can those guys win out? Obviously good sign the other day to watch us start to make some plays in the secondary. It's just going to be fascinating. Either we're going to come in Monday and be like, dude, like, I don't know what to say.
Here we go again.
Yeah, like another slow start. You know, we just can't stop people. And, you know, Baker Mayfield, or we're going to be like, dude, beating Baker Mayfield week one, putting pressure on the quarterback, getting four sacks, moving the ball down, running out that clock, Michael Penix and Kyle Pitts. Like, that's the beauty of the storylines. We just have no idea how that thing's going
to
play
out. And let me say one thing to the Falcons fans, our listeners. In week one, you have every opportunity to truly make an impact. That Thursday night game, overtime win against the Bucs, I've been in Mercedes-Benz Stadium a lot of times. It was the most electric, the loudest, the best atmosphere I have ever seen for a Falcons game inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Undoubtedly, the fans made a big impact. And if the fans have the opportunity to make that impact, long third downs, pass rushing situations, Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Leonard Floyd teeing off to get after Baker Mayfield, that is a true opportunity.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. All right, real quick. UFC signs a huge deal today. $7 billion deal. Dana White signs to say we're done with pay-per-view. We're done with telling you on Saturday night you got to ante up.
Yep.
We're going to be available on a streaming service, which is, what, $11-$12 a month? A $7 billion, seven-year deal to say we want young people, Paramount wanting to compete with the Netflixes and the Primes and the Apples of the world and the streaming world and the, you know, Max, HBO Max and all that. Young people will absolutely run, not walk, to get that app because now they don't have to pay for those UFC fights.
You know, it's crazy just talking about $11-$12 a month. I was talking to a dad the other week, and he's like, yeah, my kid wanted to go to this concert. Dad, can I get some money to buy these tickets? And dad's like, no, absolutely not. Kid goes, okay, I'll be back in 2 hours. Jumped on DoorDash, did a couple of DoorDash runs delivering food. I'm good, Dad. I just made $80. I'm going to the concert tonight.
Wild.
Yeah. It's the new day and age. I'm going to use my car.
Cool. That's a cool
thing. I'm
going
to get in DoorDash.
Yeah.
I'm going to go make a few deliveries for a couple hours, earn my money to buy this ticket. I'll be out tonight.
Yeah. Well.
So maybe they do that for their $12 a month for Paramount.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not going to cost him what those fights were. And I'm working with Abe tomorrow. He's a big UFC fan. You know, listen, baseball just does not resonate the way that UFC does, the way that WWE does. Boxing still trying to look up and say, how do we become more compelling? But this deal here
big time
continues to show you where, you know, young audiences are. They're on these sports. They're on streaming services. This is how they want their entertainment delivered. For Dana White to get a $7 billion deal done.
7.7
billion.
Almost 8 billion.
Yeah, a billion a year north of that is the deal. And baseball still doesn't have their deal in place for next year of where they're going to end up. Let's be honest, guys. 3-hour games, 2.5-hour games of a sport that doesn't move that fast, that doesn't market their stars. The stars in baseball separate Shohei Ohtani and maybe one or two other guys.
Yep.
Compared to all these other storylines, some of them real, some of them fake. It's about telling stories. The NFL, you know why QB1 works? You know why Hard Knocks works? The NFL is full of stories. You can't say that about baseball. They don't have it.
The kids say, Dana White is him.
Yeah. Hey, things I learned over the weekend. You'll finally hear from John Gruden. If you are not ready to run through a wall as a Georgia fan, wait till you hear John Gruden when we come back. Also, a television show that I had no expectation that is about as much fun as anything I've seen in a long time. We'll get into that. Also, history made this week at Truist Park. We'll also play Three Strikes, and we'll continue live from Flowery Branch Steak and Drew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons training camp. That's what we're doing over here. Drew Butler. I'll be here next 2 days with Abe Gordon. It's Stakey and Abe. Sandra going to be on a leave of absence for a bit. Her mom is very ill and sending her love and prayers and wishes. And so we will hope that whatever plays out, that Sandy's back with us, but that she's taking care of what's most important to her right now. And we got enough of a crew around us to let her go do her thing. And indeed, Rusty will be here later this week, and Abe and I are working hard, and Smoking Joe Patrick will be in the mix. So a lot of guys are going to be helping out as well. Before we get to things I learned over the weekend, we are sitting with a special teams extraordinaire, All-American punter, NFL kicker, NFL punter. What the hell happened over the weekend with...
Well, first and foremost, Lenny Craig, the Falcons' backup kicker, made a 57-yarder in their first preseason game against the Detroit Lions, which was great to see. He also missed one, but that's a story that we're keeping our eyes on and which we'll be developing, Lenny Craig versus Younghoe Koo to be the Falcons' kicker. However, Cam Little from Arkansas, I think soaking wet, he weighs like 170 pounds. He made a 70-yard field goal in the preseason game for the Jaguars on Saturday night. And I just have to say, Stake, I don't care when this kick was made. It was absolutely incredible. He piped it right down Main Street, a 70-yard field goal right before the half. Liam Cohen, the Jags' new head coach, said, hey, you know, it was a great opportunity for us. Cam Little, after the game, said, I've tried 65 in practice. I've tried 68 in practice. Hell, I don't even know if I've ever lined up for a 70-yard field goal. He did it in a live snap rep in a preseason game. It was insane. It would have shattered the NFL record if it was in a regular season game. So huge props to Cam Little.
How ridiculous is the range now and the consistency north of 50 from 15 years ago? And is that like, I mean, it's not like golf because it's not new technology. It's still a human leg,
yeah,
right?
That's correct.
So like, but is it the training? Is it the, like, why is?
It's got to be the training. I mean, look, take nothing away from these kickers and punters. What they have done to elevate the skill level in the NFL is absolutely crazy, and in college and in high school. I mean, I work with some high school kickers and punters, and I'm like, dude, you're better than I was when I was a junior, senior in college. It's unbelievable.
But why?
It's got to be the specialization and training. There's no other way to legitimize how much better these kids have gotten. You know, an NFL field goal from snap to kick is 1.2 seconds. from the moment that snapper moves his hands to the moment that kicker touches his foot to the leather, it's 1.2 seconds, and a punt is just under 2 seconds from snap to kick. That is a snap traveling 14.5 to 15 yards. That's a punter catching it, taking 2.5 steps, and kicking it. 1.2 seconds for a field goal, 1.95 seconds for a punt. So what they're able to do in that small amount of time is remarkable.
Yeah, that's just a record that's going to possibly, what is it, 66 is the
66 is the Justin NFL record, Tucker. Justin Tucker.
All right, I got three strikes, but first we got to do things. What should I give our three strikes?
You should.
Then do things I
yes.
learned because I got a good – all right, the kicker that crushed you for the good or the bad, the kicker that crushed you, maybe he missed a kick that crushed you, maybe he drilled a kick
this is getting
that
personal.
Crushed you, right? A kicker that crushed you for the good or the bad in terms of what they did. We are going to talk a little bit about this remake of a television show, but I just wanted you to tell me, by the way, Naked Gun 2 or whatever it is, getting rave reviews,
by
the
Neeson.
Way.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And Pam Anderson.
Right.
Not for your 9-year-old, when I understand. Like, absolutely politically incorrect, absolutely cutting-edge humor. They're getting rave reviews. It's doing great in the box office. What is a movie sequel or remake that delivered? So in that case, it's a remake. In some cases, it's a sequel. But give me a movie sequel or remake that delivered. And the game, high school, college, or pro, that is already circled on your calendar. You mentioned the Buford Milton game coming up on Friday night, right? I guarantee you that people have been thinking about that game for a year, right?
Absolutely.
Realizing it's an ESPN game, it's the opening of the stadium, maybe it's your college game. Obviously, Georgia's got three monster games at home, and then there's the NFL. We talked about that weekend, Ravens and Chiefs and numerous other huge games. Maybe it's just always a division rival game or whatever it is. But give me the game, high school, college, or pro already circled on your calendar, a movie sequel or remake that delivered, and a kicker that crushed you for the good or the bad. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. It's a Monday. Fill us up with some brand new three-strike participants, and let's have some fun and do the right thing. We got a long week ahead.
Do the right thing.
Falcons camp. Yeah, do the right thing. 404-726-0929. What are some of the things I learned over the weekend? You know, they say it'll be great, and I think we're at that point when we stop talking. It used to be about black quarterbacks playing in Super Bowls or first black quarterback to do A, B, or C, and people are like, dude, why? Who cares about that stuff anymore? Why do we even mention two guys start? Well, I think we're getting to a point, we're certainly there with the NBA, but maybe in baseball as well. It was a big deal, but not a huge deal, that there is a female umpire in the major leagues, Jen Powell.
Correct. Calling balls and strikes.
Yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Brian Snitker, among others, saying, more power to you. There's a lot of women out there that are busting their hump to try to get to that level. I thought it was a story, but not that big a story, to suggest why not? Why can't a female be put in that situation? Kudos to her over the weekend as the first female major league umpire.
Yeah, huge. I mean, that's groundbreaking, no question about it. And again, you seeing it in the NFL with some officials out there, referees, across the fields. You're seeing it in the NBA, but no female has ever been behind home plate as the head umpire calling balls and strikes in a Major League Baseball game, so it was great to see yesterday.
We also learned that John Gruden, while he is not coaching, certainly still has the gift of firing up the troops. Here he is. It was the day, actually, that we had Kirby. Kirby was leaving our show to go pick up John Gruden literally at the airport to get him ready to watch practice and then deliver this speech to his team.
Whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not, you're the measuring stick that I based my whole career on as a coach. You guys with me? Everybody on your schedule is looking at you as the measuring stick. They all got dreams of coming in here and making a name for themselves. Wouldn't that be something? If Coach Gruden came out and got his first win between the hedges, you talk about credibility. I'm into dreams, yes? You know what you guys are? You're the nightmares. You got to end people's dreams. And if Gruden walks in here, anybody walks in here, You end their dreams. You guys become the nightmares.
Look, Coach Gruden making the rounds right now. NFL teams, college football teams, not leaving anything up for debate. He wants to get back into coaching. I believe in his Barstool contract, it has been reported that if he gets a qualifying offer, he gets out of his contract with Barstool and he'll go back to coaching. Seems like steak. I don't know this. I'll make an assumption that Roger Goodell wouldn't necessarily be bending over backwards to have Gruden back in the league.
He's not getting back in the NFL. He's going to take a college job, and just like he said, I'd love to coach in the SEC, said it earlier. He was run out of the NFL for treating a lot of people not very pleasant. Absolutely was railroaded. They sent those emails out, but the emails existed. And I know a lot of people that know John Gruden said he is not, you know, he's not up for man of the year, but can he coach? Absolutely. I think his next job will be in college, and then maybe there's a road back to the NFL. But, you know, that's the beauty of the Georgia win streak at home. They want to come in, and they want to say, we came in and beat the Dogs. And if they could stay undefeated at home this year, they'll be playing for a national title. Because that means they'll beat Texas, Ole Miss, and Alabama, as well as Kentucky. I believe it's Charlotte, Marshall, Austin Peay. We know which games are the big ones.
Yeah, the last loss at home, 2019, against South Carolina in double overtime. I remember that specifically. My cousin had a housewarming party. We all watched the Dogs lose. He has since sold that house.
Bad karma.
He lives in Buford now.
And finally, I'll just give you a thing that I learned about 10, 12 years ago. Dexter got on the scene, that show, on Showtime, and they had a pretty good 4 or 5 season run that ran out of gas. Then they came back years later with this Dexter New Blood show, which was horrific, awful television. They're back with Dexter Resurrection, where he didn't really die in that show. It's so friggin' good and entertaining.
Really?
It is so well done.
Wow.
Peter Dinklage from Thrones,
yeah,
playing a guy that cultivates serial killers. Uma Thurman,
wow,
of Kill Bill 1 and 2.
And she's, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. She's in it. The storyline is really good. And Dexter Resurrection has indeed resurrected itself. Super entertaining. Shocked how good it is. That's on my things I learned as well. Also, that show coming out on Hulu, Aliens, which is a television series based on those films, which are supposed to be really friggin' scary. That's coming out this week as well. That's some of the things I learned over the weekend. 404-726-0929. Let's get to the phone lines and let's play some Three Strikes. The 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Pressure washing that you don't want to do yourself because you're not capable and it's hard. Have someone else do it.
And you can really mess up things if you do it the wrong way. So definitely give Wise Guys a shot.
My wife heard I was going to try to pressure wash our patio. She'd be terrified. She would say, "That's you're the last person I would hire for that." Or even, you know, go do the laundry. Go change some light bulbs. Don't mess with that. 404-726-0929. The three questions, that we still got open lines and we get time to do it, is the kicker that crushed you for good or the bad, movie sequel or remake that delivered, and the game already circled on your calendar. Tony in Rome, who's the kicker that crushed you?
Morten Andersen sent us to the Super Bowl against the Vikings.
I'm not sure why he crushed you. I would assume that you're celebrating him, which is great.
Good or bad? Good or bad?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm thinking like somebody hit a kick that crushed you or missed a kick. Movie sequel or remake that delivered?
Top Gun Maverick.
Nice. Good call.
One of the all-time wins in movie history that was actually, many think, way better than the original, which is almost impossible that many years later. The game already circled on your calendar.
The Dogs and the Gators. Lagway is coming to town.
All right. Well, he's not really coming to town.
Yeah, be in Jacksonville for the last time over the next 2 years. A lot of construction going down to that stadium, so he'll be leaving Jay Lagway. Josh Pate has him as his number one returning quarterback in college football.
Hey, let's get Corey and Griffin. Hey, Corey, who's a kicker that crushed you?
Young Way Koo last year against the Saints.
Just a horrendous that day. Started the losing streak right there in New Orleans. Movie, sequel, or remake that delivered?
Top Gun Maverick. I don't sound like the other guy said it. I don't know, but that's the one delivered for me. Top Gun Maverick.
They absolutely did. The game, high school, college, or pro, already circled calendar.
First game of the season, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We finna start the season off with a win.
For so many reasons, that's a game I would never miss under any circumstance, whether I'm going to be there, whether I'm going to be on my couch. I mean,
you're locked in.
The intrigue on that game, man. I mean, I felt the same way last year with Arthur Smith and the Steelers and Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, what do we have? And we all know how that turned out. Any more calls or we got to rock and roll here?
Movie for me, real quick, 21 Jump Street. 21 Jump Street with Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, Ice Cube.
They did a great job.
Roy.
Yeah, they did a great job. I don't know anybody seen Naked Gun. Abe, you seen it? I heard great things about it. He's saying, well, you know, Abe. Tomorrow, Abe and I have a lot to give. But happy birthday to Abe. It's today,
happy
right?
Happy birthday, Abe. My man.
What's Abe going to do tonight? We can't tell you, but tomorrow morning he'll be working with me. We'll get all the details. We'll get all those details. I promise you that. Thanks, Bo. Great job. Drew, wishing you a great week.
Yeah, thank you. And we're thinking of you, Sandy. We love you very much.
All right. And we do appreciate being out here at Falcons, and we do appreciate you making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.